Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
A new year and a new beginning. Well, I just thank God that every day is a new beginning with Him. And he tells us in his word that, you know, his mercies are new every morning, and each day we can wake up and start afresh and start something new. But each year we often think about, you know, the year that is to come. We leave behind those things that are in the year behind, and we sometimes think ahead to what we want to do. And I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions this year. I want to look at a different focus of how we can start our new year right, because I know that lots of you probably make New Year's resolutions, and many of us by January 5th have probably broken those New Year's resolutions. So I want to start this year kind of looking at that one way that we sang about, looking at that focus of things that we are to keep our minds on, that each day we can come back to God and say, right, God, I want to refocus again today, not just for the beginning of the year, but for each and every day. But these last few months, I've been really annoyed by making decisions. And the more I, in the last few months, I seem to be getting more irritated by having to make decisions. It might be because, you know, all day I'm making decisions, and by the time I get home, I don't really want to make any more decisions. And it's the trivial stuff that I get annoyed at. I'm so glad I have a uniform, because at least I can go to my cupboard and know, okay, it's only this little section of my cupboard that I need to choose. Okay, what shirt? All right, this white one or this white one? Or this one or this one? Does anyone else get irritated by these trivial decisions? The one that gets me the most is, what should I have for dinner? Anyone else get annoyed? What should I have for dinner? It's every day. What should I have for dinner? I just want dinner to magically appear on my kitchen table when I get home from work. And I want it to be healthy. I want it to be tasty. And I want it to be original. I don't want it to be anything that I've had in the last 7 to 14 days. Anyone else have this dilemma? Well, I married a chef, and you think it would be easy. But he constantly says to me, what should we have for dinner? Like all good maids should. And he thinks he's doing me a favour by allowing me to choose. I don't want to choose! Because he knows I don't like pizza. Light and easy. Yeah. I'm really tempted when I watch those ads, purely because I don't want to have to choose what to eat. I'd like that idea of a menu plan where they tell you this is what you're eating on all these days. But the trouble would probably be that they might give me a choice on their menus between a few different things. Yeah. And so there's still, you know, just choose it for me. Just make sure it's on my table and make sure it's ready and make sure it's hot and tasty and such. Other decisions in my life that are a bit more serious, I don't seem to get as annoyed with. But I seem to think, you know, it's worthy of my time. You know, those things like, what should I study? Or, you know, what job should I apply for? Whether I should have got married? I did make the right choice. you know, whether I should become, when I became a soldier, the choice to become a soldier, or when I became an officer, choosing that choice. Those things didn't seem to annoy me so much, but it seemed like worth more of my effort because they were big decisions to make. They take more consideration, and I certainly didn't become flippant about those decisions. I was actually very serious and took a lot of time to think about them. But these trivial things, what should I wear today, or what should we have for dinner? I prefer to make these bigger decisions because they seem more worthy of my time. Instead of thinking day in, day out, what should I eat? And by the way, you know, when you go to the cupboard 50 times and when you go to the fridge equally amount of times, it doesn't make the decision any easier. I just want something to jump in the cupboard that I hadn't seen before. No, it doesn't work that way. The decision gets harder, not easier. But God, from the very beginning, gave people choice. He gave people the task of making decisions. And we often hear about this term, free will. God gave us free will to make decisions, to choose what we believe, to choose who we believe in, to choose what to think, how to act, what to do, what to hate, what to love. He gave us this choice freely. And he chose to give us that in the hope that we would choose him and we would choose to love him. He does not force himself on us. He doesn't say, you will choose. He certainly encourages us, but he does not force us to make a choice either way. And he certainly does not ignore us. And I want to look through the scriptures today at how God gives us choice and makes us aware of options of things that we can choose. But the first scripture I want to look at is from Revelation. And it shows that God is giving us the ultimate choice of whether we want him in our lives or not. And it says here, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." This is the voice of Jesus. This is what Jesus does. And so he stands at the door, he knocks on the door of our hearts, waiting for us to invite him in. And I like that he says, "I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." And I pray, Jesus, that you choose what we eat so that I don't have to decide that either. But he says, "I will come right in and sit down and have a meal and sit and have fellowship with you." Jesus waits for us to choose to have him in our lives. But that's not where the choice ends. We don't just make that one choice. He comes into our lives and that's it. We don't make a choice ever again. God gives us this ability of free will and choice to choose him all along our path. And we continue to choose him, to choose to follow him, to choose to have him in our lives. Even in the Old Testament, so this Revelation is right near the end of the Bible, and it's talking, you know, of what's to come and who Jesus is revealing himself to be to us. In the Old Testament, when the people of God were in those early days of walking with God, they were God's chosen people, the Israelite people. They were God's chosen people. God had chosen them as his special people. But they still had the choice whether they were going to follow God and follow his ways and follow what he wanted for their lives. And we're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And this is a passage where Moses is at the end of his life. And Moses was one of the great leaders of the Israelite people. He took them out of, God took them out of Egypt, but Moses was their leader who took them out. And so this is right near Moses' death. And he's saying these words to the people and telling them about the choice that God is giving them. And he says in verse 15 to 20, it says, "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we see here, Moses is saying to them, these are the choices you have before you. You have life and blessings, or you have death and curses. I mean, to me, it's kind of like an ah-duh, what thing you would choose. But he's saying how you make those choices. And he's saying when you turn away from God, this is what it leads to. When you turn towards God, then you get life and blessings. So he's saying to them, this is the choice that you need to make. What are you going to do? What choices do you have in front of you that you need to be making at this time? You see, the Israelite people back then needed this reminder. They'd made a covenant with God already. They were God's chosen people, and they had said, yes, this will be my God. But they had, like every people, strayed a little bit. They'd forgotten about the promise that they'd made to love the Lord their God with all their hearts and minds. They'd forgotten that their choice was to serve the Lord and to obey the Lord. They'd quickly forgotten about how much God had done for them. They had been taken out of Egypt, a place of slavery. But they had gone through the wilderness. And so this wilderness time was a time of great struggle and hardship for them. And so for them, complaining and grumbling had become the normal. And they'd forgotten what God had done for them, that he'd brought them out of slavery, that he was taking them on a journey to the promised land. They'd lost sight of all that. And so their focus was not on how great God was, or how much they loved God, or how much they wanted to serve. Their focus had become about, oh, we got this sandy place to live in, and we've only got this stinky manna, and, you know, a little bird called a quail with not much meat on it. Their whole focus had become on their struggles and their hardship. So Moses put forward to them this choice of life and death. He reminded the people that following God and his commands would lead to life and blessings. But if they continued to turn away and be disobedient, to grumble, to complain, that their life would become like death and like a curse. Moses urges them to obviously choose life, to love God, to listen to him, and to hold fast to him. That was how they were going to receive life and receive blessings, is when their focus was on God and loving him and listening to him. They'd been distracted by their circumstances. They hadn't yet got to the promised land. They were still outside this awaited place that they wanted to get to, this wonderful place. And sometimes in our lives, we are on that journey waiting to get to that promised place that we know God has for us. And 2020 has certainly been a year like the Israelites would have gone through. Hardship. There was troubles. There was many things that have distracted us along the way. And I pray that we would choose life this year. That we would be able to put aside those things that may have distracted us last year. That have caused us to maybe complain or grumble or look at things in a negative light. And actually focus on God this year. Making him the choice to love, to serve, and follow him. Their lives were hard, just as this year may have been hard. And Mark talked about looking at whether the year of 2020 was a year of trouble or the year of God's right hand. And whether maybe for you it was a year of trouble, whether you can lay that aside and use this year as a year to see God at work and to choose him. Just like Moses, I want to remind you of the promises that you have made. And many of you have been following Christ and a Christian for many, many years. And probably those of you online, there's probably many of you that have been following Jesus for quite some time. And you've all made a decision. Maybe it was a year ago, maybe it was 10 years, maybe it was longer than that, to follow Jesus. And I want to remind you, just like Moses did, that God has done more than we could ask or imagine. What has he done in the past that you have forgotten about? What have you been distracted by in recent times that has allowed you to turn away? I want to remind you of the promise that you've made to love and to serve God in the past and bring you back to that decision. And I want you to choose life for yourselves this year. So this new year, I want you to make a choice to return and respond to God. Maybe it is something that's pulled you away and you need to say, God, I'm really sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry that I've allowed these things to distract me. I want to return to you. I want to be obedient. I don't want to disobey you anymore. I want to follow you and your ways. I want to choose life, to choose to love you, to obey you and serve you all the days of my life. Now, Moses wasn't the only one who speaks about this choice for the people of God. Joshua, who was the leader that came after Moses, only just after, he had to remind the people of God in the book of Joshua. This very same principle of choosing God and choosing to serve him. And we're going to look at the scripture from Joshua 24, which is actually just before Joshua's death. So I hope this isn't prophetic that, you know, Moses spoke just before his death and Joshua just spoke before his. Please, Lord, this not be the last sermon I give. But Joshua 24, we're going to look from verses 14 on. It says, now, this is Joshua speaking to the people, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. They'd obviously forgotten since Moses' time, only a few years before, to serve God. They, you know, we need this reminder constantly in our lives, obviously, to come back to God. It says, throw away the gods your ancestor worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua again is saying, choose who you're going to follow. Are you going to follow the Lord your God, or are you going to follow all these other gods that has been part of your history or part of your heritage and the people that have gone before you? He's reminding the people of God prior to this of what God has done for them. He reminds them again about being brought out of Egypt. And he's giving them the choice to whom they will serve. So these Israelites had been taken out of their original homelands where, you know, the peoples had many gods and they worshipped other things. And they had, yes, they'd made a decision to follow the Lord, but they'd also kept some of these trinkets and statues and beliefs and practices from their old gods and their old ways. And they were still trying to do both. They were saying they were following God, but they were still using some of these old practices and old statues to still, you know, oh, if God doesn't work out, then I've got this other God that I can pray to as well, and he might help me with something. So they were continuing to keep idols and false gods in their life. So he'd remove them from those lands, but they hadn't chosen to let go of some of these practices and idols that they had kept. But Joshua reminds the people that the Lord God is a jealous God and he doesn't want to share us with other gods and other beliefs because he knows that everything can be fulfilled with just him. You don't need any of these other gods. You don't need any of these other trinkets or things that you can put your faith in. God is the one true God who can encompass all that we need and all that we are. Joshua also reminds them that God had been faithful to them and that God was worthy of worship. He'd got them out of slavery. He'd protected them through the wilderness. And when Joshua's speaking this, they're actually in the promised land. So they weren't in that wilderness place anymore. They'd actually got to the place that God had promised for them, a place that had been set just for his people. And yet they still, even in a good space, in the promised place, they'd still forgotten about God. I think that says something about our lives sometimes. In the difficult times, we can be distracted and turn away from God. But even in the good times, we forget about God and we don't necessarily put him first. So Joshua gives them this choice of whom they want to serve, the Lord God or these other gods and false gods of their ancestors. And Joshua led by example, and he made his own decision regardless of what anyone else decided. He said, "But as for me and my household, I will serve the Lord." That was what Joshua said. He didn't care what their choice was going to be. He said to them, "You choose for yourselves today what you're going to do, whether you're going to follow God or whether you're going to keep these idols and these other gods." But he decided what he was going to do regardless of what anyone else was going to choose. Are we willing today to stand and make a decision regardless of what others think of us? Do we make a decision to say, "No, we're going to follow God, regardless of what our friends, what our family, what the people around us in society decide"? Will we be as bold as Joshua to do that? And we're going to look at the scripture that follows after this from verse 16. "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we travelled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God.'" So these other people that Joshua is speaking to, they choose also to serve God. And they're not choosing just to appease Joshua, just to get Joshua off their back. And they're like, "All right, yes, Joshua, we'll serve God as well, you know, stop preaching." They do it out of their own choice and their own willingness. And they actually now are remembering what God has done for them. They're saying, "Yes, I remember this God that you brought us out of slavery. I remember that. You've protected us along our journey and that you've seen us among all the other nations." They are now telling the story of what God has done. Do we choose to serve the Lord ourselves, or do we choose based on our family? Do we do it to appease other people? Do we do it because it's our friends are doing it? Do we do it to follow the crowd? Do we do it because I've done this forever and I don't know anything different? Are we willing to put aside, like these people were, to put aside our old beliefs and our idols? Today we may not have actual statues or actual trinkets, or we may not have other religions that have influenced our lives, but there are certainly idols in our lives. Idols today might be things like money, work, even family and friends. Idols are anything we put more importance on than our love for God. Idols are anything we put more importance on than our love for God. Sometimes our own popularity, our own safety, our own comfort, or our possessions can become an idol if we value them more than we value God. Or some of those things can actually become distractions to following God. Jesus, so New Testament now, Jesus is talking to people about choice, about what to follow, what to serve. And he talks about this in the book of Matthew, in Matthew 6:24. And he's talking about serving two masters, and that you can't do that. You have to make a choice. You can't serve two things. Just like the Israelites couldn't have the Lord God and these other idols, they had to make a choice. Which one? Jesus says, you can only serve one master. And he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, Or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And this was obviously an issue back in Jesus' time, that people were using money as their focus. Not that money in itself is wrong. The scripture says that the love of money is wrong, not money itself. And so we see here that Jesus is saying you can't go after both. You can't strive for money and strive for God at the same time. And a lot of our culture and a lot of our society today is consumed by money, and it's consumed by striving for bigger superannuation plans, more expensive holidays, bigger paying jobs. Things in our life revolve around the almighty dollar. And if that becomes our focus, we can't then follow God at the same time. Our focus can only be on one or the other because they are conflicting. Our brain simply can't divide between two. One will be more than the other. So we need to make that choice. This is a choice that God puts before us. We either serve God or we serve these other things like money. Remember, serving God leads to life and blessings. Serving these other things that distract us leads to death and curses, as we heard in Deuteronomy. This year I want to give the call like Moses, for you all to choose life, to choose to obey God despite the rough circumstances, whether we're in that wilderness place. That no matter if you had fallen away from God, you can return. You can come back to him and say, sorry, God, I haven't put you first. I haven't focused on you, and I want to return to you. And he will accept us. God is a God of mercies every day, and we can always return to him. I want to give the call like Joshua and say that as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, in the hope that you might each choose to do the same. I want to put aside all the things that have hindered me in serving the Lord. I want to throw away the idols of the pursuit of money, the pursuit of popularity, putting comfort and selfishness above God. I want to throw away all those things that distract me from serving God only. I want to put aside and throw away complaining, grumbling, and negativity, so that my eyes are focused on God only. I want to start this year remembering all that God has done for me in the past. I want to start this year with courage and hope, knowing that God is always with us. And I want today to mark the moment that I renew my faith, my service, my trust, and my covenant to follow and serve God only. In this passage from Joshua, we read a little later that Joshua marked the occasion of the people declaring to serve God. And it says in verse 23, "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey him." On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took... a large stone. It was probably larger than this, but this is the heaviest I can carry. He took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the place, the holy place of the Lord. "See," he said to all the people, "this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God." So I brought along this large stone to mark in our church today all who want to make this choice today of choosing life, of choosing to serve God, of putting aside all idols, putting aside all negativity, putting aside all those things that distract you from following God. To choose life, to open the door to Jesus who is knocking on the door of your heart. And for some of you, maybe you've never opened the door to Jesus. Maybe you've never invited him in to your heart, maybe out of fear, maybe out of not hearing him, maybe just because you're just not sure about him. But I want you to choose life. I want you to choose blessings. I want you to choose where you will follow him all the days of your life. And I want this stone to be a marker. This stone is going to mark for me the beginning of this year, the moment that I renew my faith, I renew my covenant, I renew the choice that I make to follow Jesus. For those online or in the chat, what are you going to choose? Will you choose to follow God? Will you choose life? Will you choose to serve the Lord your God? As for me and my household, I'm going to serve the Lord. If you want to choose to follow God, you today feel that God is asking you that choice, I want you to either type it in the chat, or if you're in the room, maybe you just want to raise your hand and say, Lord, I choose you. I choose life. I want to choose you. And declare today that you want to mark this day as a renewal of your covenant and promise to serving God, to choosing life. And we're going to sing a song that says, here I am to worship. Here I am to say that you're my God. And I want this to be your prayer. And if this is your declaration that you want to choose God to serve him and serve him only, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to say that, God, here I am to worship you, to say that you are my God. I have this free will and I want to use it to follow you this year. And all the days of my life, not just this year, not just today. And I want this stone to be the marker that shows that we are declaring this today. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. May this be the song of your declaration as you reflect on the choice that you make to serve him today.